You're too many y'all in the comfort zone. You got to stay on the cutting edge.
Welcome to LeroyThompson.tv, where you get the cutting edge.
You may be seated. Tonight, we're going to be inducting some members into LTMA, and also we'll be dedicating a ring that one of the members have purchased, and we'll be dedicating that ring tonight. So I'm going to ask my brothers, the MVBs, to join me on the platform so we can start the induction process.
Recognizing first, Apostle Thompson, God bless your heart. We love you so much. Our leader, Reverend Leroy Thompson Jr., we bless you as well. And to all of you here, a litany in LTMA is a liturgical prayer in which a series of statements are recited by a leader and alternated with the responses by the congregation. LTMA has always used these litanies in the induction of Master Vision Bearers, as well as the LTMA members. The LTMA induction serves as a mark of solemnness and spirituality and significance of a minister being grafted into a very unique and special ministerial association. Tonight, two litanies will be employed. The first will be to induct new ministers into LTMA. The second, to consecrate the LTMA rings, which ministers have purchased once they join LTMA. The Master Vision Bearers, and their symbol right here behind me, of LTMA are serve as a delegated authority under our visionary Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., and each MVB was selected personally by Apostle Thompson, and we all serve at his pleasure. The MVB stand as a founding board for LTMA, facilitators and overseers of the circles of vision, examples before all of the values of LTMA, and finally, defenders of the vision of LTMA. It is customary for the Master Vision Bearers as a symbol to stand in solidarity with the visionary Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. during all official LTMA protocols. At this time, Pastor Joseph Brown, Master Vision Bearer of Alabama and LTMA, will introduce the LTMA inductees for this week. Pastor Brown, please. Yes, sir.
Before I introduce the candidates for induction, allow me to invite or to introduce the Master Vision Bearers to, for this afternoon. I am Pastor Joseph Brown, and we have Dr. David C. Forbes, Jr., from whom we've already heard, Bishop Jason Martin, Pastor Marvin Moore, Pastor Jeffrey Phillips, Dr. Patrick Randolph in his absence, Bishop Daniel Robertson, Pastor Kenneth Skelton, Reverend Leroy Thompson, Jr., Reverend Montrell Thompson, Pastor Ron Walker, and Dr. Carlos Williams. At this time, I'm asking all the inductees, as I call your name, to please come forward where an usher will position you for the induction ceremony. Apostle Thompson will lead you through the litany as printed. Afterward, you will receive an induction certificate and be welcomed by the Master Vision Bearers. If you participate in the ring ceremony, please remain on the floor facing the podium after the induction ceremony has concluded and you have been welcomed by the Master Vision Bearers. If you're not participating in the ring ceremony, please return to your seats after you've been greeted by the Master Vision Bearers. At this time, I'll call the name of the inductees. Minister Calvin Brazely of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Minister Gloria Smith, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Thank you, Pastor Brown. If you would, you open up your litanies and where it says response, we, the MVBs, will join in with you. God has made of all people one blood. There are many people, but one God. Cry out and shout, ye people of God, the Lord is my strength and song. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water from the wells of salvation. For as Scripture teaches, there is but one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Take heed, sons and daughters, even as we are all members of the body of Christ. Do you choose to be faithful members of this association? You, the candidates for induction into LTMA, are called to consecration, dedication, and sanctification. Do you freely accept this challenge? Do you pledge and vow to grow, develop, and increase in ministry as you serve the Lord Jesus Christ? As mighty ministers of the gospel of Christ, will you honor the word in faith, in family, in prosperity, and in ministry? Will you honor, support, promote, defend, and advance the concepts, precepts, success, and covenant of LTMA? Do you choose to follow the vision Apostle Thompson has set forth as established and maintained by the master vision bearers duly appointed?
Yes, we do.
So that this association may flourish and to pursue the course of its destiny and to honor its purpose and divine potential, on behalf of Dr. Leroy Thompson, Sr., Chief Overseer of the Leroy Thompson Ministerial Association, induct you into LTMA with all of the rights, responsibilities, privileges hereby afforded to you. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Do you want us to greet them?
I'm going to come greet them. Yeah, we will greet them.
Yes, sir. And we're following you?
Yes, sir. Come right ahead. Welcome, young man.
Yes, sir.
God bless you here.
Bless you.
Welcome, dog. Okay?
All right.
I would ask at this time for all the LTMA members who have purchased and received LTMA rings to please come forward for the LTMA ring ceremony.
Thank you again, Pastor. It's important that we take time to do this because it's important that we uphold the integrity and the importance of LTMA. This is, for me, this is serious business. And every time we do this, it gets more and more meaningful to me because you start to see so many dedicated people that are serious about what God has called them to do. And so I'm excited about doing not only the induction ceremony, but also the rings, because as we go through the litany, we'll read, but these rings mean something. It's something when you're able to buy a ring and you just, you're buying a ring for yourself. But it's another thing when you decide to say, I'm dedicated and I want a ring that represents who I'm a part of. God has made of all people one blood. There are many people, but one God. Cry out and shout, ye people of God, that the Lord is my strength and song. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw from waters from the wells of salvation. For as scripture teaches, there is but one Lord, one faith, and what baptism. Give ear, sons and daughters in ministry, as Elisha was to Elijah, and as Aaron was to Moses. Do you elect to be loyal, a loyal son of this association? You as ministers and ministers of this association are hereby called to carry the gospel and vision of the LTMA to the ends of the world. Do you hereby freely accept this challenge and commission? Do you pledge to promote consecration and spiritual dedication as you walk in holiness and sanctification? Will you submit to the duly appointed master vision bearers as you honor the visionary of this association? As mighty ministers in the word and world, will you bring honor to your Lord and to this association by setting examples and standards of excellence, righteousness, solidarity in this ministry as you help light the torch of ministries around the world? Will you, by your example, invite others of like spirit and mind to enlist as partners in the LTMA? So that others might perpetually inquire of you what meaneth these stones, and to mark this day of sacred commitment in ministry, on behalf of Dr. Leroy Thompson, Sr., Chief Overseer of the Leroy Thompson Ministerial Association, offer you the LTMA ring as a symbol of elegance, fidelity, holiness, leadership, legitimacy, trust, strength, and godly vision. Glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Wonderful. Praise and worship. Give him the glory. I said, give him the glory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Well, those of you who are watching by internet, you can see we're on our way this week. We've had a tremendous week. Leroy Jr. ministered this morning, did a tremendous job on how connections are made. You're watching by Roku or LeroyThompsonTV.com. We just welcome you into this meeting. Pay close attention. We're establishing some things in the spirit world, and we're just thankful.
All these too many y'all in the conference zone. You got to stay on the.
Louisiana and to Darrow. We're just thankful. We've had a good meeting thus far, full cooperation, a good spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Good spirit, and the Lord can work in an atmosphere like this. You know, that has to be an atmosphere created for the Lord to work. I say, you know, that the atmosphere has to be created for the Lord to work. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I like Montreal. I like a little more food in this mic. Just a little more. I don't want to mess it up, but I like to hear myself a little better. Maybe we got to get some speakers so I can hear myself better. Don't try to overjack it, but I want to hear myself. I'm preaching to me too. Yes. Praise his name. Now you see, saw me sitting down while the boy was giving the, I just decided to sit down. They're in authority, they know what to do, and I don't have to be up there with them all the time. I just thought about that. I said, I got to preach, they can take care of that. Amen. And we are treading on sacred ground. We are, in some way, Joe, we are pioneering some things in the body of Christ about ministry gifts and about government and the culture of honor and how to function properly, that the Holy Spirit may give us 100% backup. And so, you know, we don't take nothing from nobody. There's many glorious ministries in the world. Thank God for all of them. But by the same token, what God is using us to do, we got to do it well. And we have to just follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, yield to the Holy Spirit, stick together. You sometime going to have some challenges. That's life. But there's nothing that God can't handle. And so we look to him all the time. We look to him. We look to Jesus. One of the things that I was meditating on, Jesus is Lord. You can say that, but you need to say that more often and think about what you're saying. For the Bible said, wherefore God have highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. And you need to tell yourself that sometime, because you see these people who think they're Lord. You know, you watch television and they're so big and all that. No, Jesus is the Lord. And we are his servants. The best place you can be in is in the Christian family. I'm glad, you know, they say I'm glad to be American. I'm glad to be a Christian. The American come next. I'm glad to be a Christian. And so I'll whisper a prayer unto the Lord. I'm thankful that you're here and those in the internet audience. We're going to establish some groundwork and some foundation tonight about the apostolic office. And tomorrow night we'll tell you how to better connect with it. But I thought tonight you need to know what it is and need to see some evidence of how God have designed his work to function. I believe the miracles, the signs, and the wonders and the abundance that God wants his children to display is because government has not been understood as properly as it should. Then after it is understood, then I believe submission can take place, and then a whole lot of things. You may be seated. I'm not, just thank God for the night and thank the Holy Spirit for helping us. Thank God for everybody who's here in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 holds, and we begin to talk about revelations. When you talk about ministry, it must be revelation. Well, first of all, it must be visions and revelation. And a lot of time in ministry, pay close attention, a lot of time in ministry you get caught up in another realm. That's important for you to make yourself available for to be caught up in another realm. There's an anointing that will catch you up. You'll be in two worlds at the same time. You'll see things supernaturally. You'll experience things in the spirit. It's so important. And you got a feedback now, so you can jack it down a little bit. It's so important that we understand how spiritual things work. It would seem like we do, but yet as much as I study and learn and study, I found out a whole lot of things we need to grow up in, you know. In this chapter, we'll see aspect of the Apostle Paul in another realm. He functioned in another realm, even of the other apostles, because he went out and got along with God by himself and came back and had revelation, had graces on his life. And actually, he challenged Peter when Peter got off track with racism and denominationalism. Paul called it hand. And he was actually a younger man than Peter. But I found out that spiritual things don't go by age. That's right. The Lord told me that personally when I had to make a big decision in my life, the Lord had revealed to me is not by a spiritual thing. I remember that young prophet went to town and the Lord had given him an assignment, told him not to talk to nobody, not to tarry, just do what I tell you to do. And the older prophet caught up with him and talked him out of it and got himself killed. So we began. I needed help after I got called into apostleship because I really didn't know what an apostle was or what his assignment really was or what his identification mark, what his character should be, what position he was in the body of Christ. I think I'm not by myself to a large degree. We got a lot of Tyler's being thrown out, but really understand it. So not I've had help from Apostle Jonathan David. He helped me a lot. David, Dr. Fogg gave me that book. He had it on his rack for many years. And when the time came and I was called an apostle, he laid that book in my hand. It's one of the books in the school we have studied. Junior preached from one of his books this morning to give us insight on this apostle world. We're going to deal with six identifiable signs of an apostle. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit carry it the way he wants, but we're going to come to some identity. And just for an introduction, these are not the function of an apostle, but rather the sign that reveal his authenticity as an apostle. These signs reveal the nature of the man and his personal life more than the external flow of his gifting and ministry. These signs point to the man and not just his ministry. You know, a lot of times people won't accept the ministry, won't accept the man. What kind of mess is this? So we got to understand it. So let's go. Let's look in 2 Corinthians 12. I'm headed for one verse, but I want to read through here. As we go through here, I think we can see some things. The Apostle Paul, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, is explaining to us about his ministry and about the ministry of an apostle, beginning at verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now, before I read it, he's going to talk about a man caught up. Many theologians believe, and I believe up to this point, he was talking about himself. I know myself personally, I've been caught in the spirit sometime, didn't know who I was and didn't know where I was. Sometimes you get overwhelmed by the spirit and you're just in a joyous state and just hearing from heaven and it don't make no difference what else around you. So here we read, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions, see that, visions, and revelations of the Lord. Now that's important in ministry, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Vision and revelation of the Lord and giving the Lord the glory.
Yes, yes, sir.
That's a mark. It's very important. I've learned over the years, no matter what happened, what manifests, what kind of demonstration, always give God the glory. The Bible said, where there's no vision, the people perish. And so each minister gift is a visionary. And you must be receiving visions from God and revelations. You notice, plural, revelations. Not one revelation, and it's of the Lord. Not a regular vision. It's not a regular glory. It's not a regular revelation. It's a visions and glory and revelation of the Lord.
Yes,
amen. Amen. Of the Lord. Of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And it's powerful because when you get revelation of the Lord, you're in another world.
Yes,
he goes on to say, now he talk about this man. I knew a man in Christ. The man was in Christ. Yeah, I believe he's talking about himself. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows such and one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, how that he was false verse. No, the third verse. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Well, that's sometime God get to moving, you know, only he knows what's going on. I think we stay in sanity too much. I mean, you know, we Sometimes you got to almost go insane, you know, to just get out of your mind and just do what the Lord tell you to do. Because I tell you, stay in your natural mind. Sometimes the Lord tell you to do something, you're not going to do it. And so he said how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself I would not glory, but in mine infirmity. Now that verse there bespeaks something. I ask the Holy Ghost help me here. He said, of such a one will I glory. One who caught up. One who is functioning in the spirit. I'm going to glory in him. But of my natural, yet myself, I will not glory. You recognize that sometimes you normal. I don't care how many PhDs or whatever, you just normal. You got to go to the restroom. You got to eat. You got to take a shower. You remember that, because I mean, you're getting messed up in ministry if you think you all that, and your wife don't want to sleep with no apostle. No, you can't get up at the house being all spiritual. Want everybody to do everything you say do. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Now, this is something here that we have little of. Men don't realize the mark of God can come on their life at a greater dimension if they don't get eyenitis. Eyenitis, you know, yeah. Tomorrow I'll teach you some glorious principles that have helped me in my ministry and enabled me to function in the spirit at a higher dimension. But here's one here. He said, I glory in my infirmities, my inabilities, my incapabilities, my lack, my shortcoming. You know, and what he's talking about is in the realm of the spirit, you're going to have to humble yourself before God can lift you up. Are you following me? For though I would desire the glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he sees me to be, or that he hears of me. Man had a powerful ministry. But he wanted to keep, and remember this, he wanted to keep giving glory to God. Wave your hand at me. Don't ever forget that. No matter what you accomplish in ministry, no matter how good you preach that night, you be careful and mindful always to give glory to God. Now, I'll tell you right now, I've had my Cheerios today, so we're going to have a night tonight. I can tell it. I can feel the anointing. I know when the anointing is going to be at a thicker dimension, and tonight it will. It will be one of those nights. You may not be able to get it every night, but tonight we'll get it. Then he goes on, still talking in the seventh verse, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. My God. You see that? That was giving me a thorn in the flesh. That wasn't no sickness. That was a demon. The messenger of Satan. That's where he is. To buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. That kept him in a position to know he needed God. For this thing he thought praying about, I besought the Lord trieth, and it that it might depart from me. And I noticed what the Lord said to him. Look what the Lord said to him. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Yeah. And Paul said, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Yes, I'm reading this for a reason, because this is a ministerial trip. If you pay attention to it, this gives me secrets about vision, revelation, who the glory go to. It's telling you you have that weakness for a reason. There are some things you can't do. It's for a reason. That's the spot God want to use. God is not so much about using your ability. He's trying to find a spot where you know you need some help. And that's what he can use you at. That's why you're used yet. So Paul said, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, For my strength is made perfect in weakness. More gladly will I glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. You see it, verse 10. In reproaches. Man, say take pleasure. In necessity. And we cry anytime somebody slap us in our ministry. Say something. Say, I don't really lack his ministry at all. Yeah, I don't lack you either. You ain't got time for that. See? He said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Never believe everybody gonna lack you. Write that in your diary red. It'll help you in the years to come. Then the 11th verse said, I became a fool in glory. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind. Notice this now. In nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostle. Do I be nothing? What? You heard that? You heard that language? I'm not behind in nothing. Look at this. Let's look at the word here a minute. Look at this. Because it's going to help us when we start looking at the identification mark. I've become a fool in glory. You have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostle. Do I be nothing?
Yes, sir.
What are you doing now?
Yeah.
Giving the glory to God, right? Yeah. Now the next verse is our verse tonight. The next verse. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience. In signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Notice what's first. Patience. You got to have patience. You know, that's when somebody, Paul talked to Timothy about when somebody opposed themselves. In meekness, you need to instruct them so they may discover that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. That's the scripture right there. True to the sign of apostle. Were brought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Wow. Now these six identifiable signs of an apostle. Number one, the call and the commissioning.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
The call, you can turn to Acts chapter 9. The call and the commissioning. You have to be called to be an apostle. Man cannot call you. You have to be called by Almighty God.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you know, I know this for a fact. I'll go ahead of myself a little bit, probably touch it. But you got to be seasoned.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
You have to be in the pot a while. You have to be cooked a while. You have to feel. You have to have revelation of the heat. It will take a while. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
And if you go out there, I remember working on a job. I really didn't understand how that whole operation worked. I was nervous every day. Because if something happened, I didn't know what to do. See? But you have to be seasoned in this area. That's why I talk to fellas, you know, they think I'm trying to hold them back. But I talk to them, they say they're apostles. I say, hold on, man, just wait a while. Let's just talk about this a few minutes. Just hold on. Hang around here a little bit. We'll see. You know, and you know, the average one I told, neither one of them got upset. They're still with me today. It's possibility that they will be an apostle. It's possibility that they are. But I just want to make sure they got enough under their belt, because the more you wear, the more you expect it out of you. And demons are not your cousin. I'm going to tell you right now, they will ride your tail home, partner. You better believe that, so you got to understand that, all right? They're not, they say, all right, you're an apostle, okay. Then you got your family to cover. You got everything to cover, you know. I told you, I was reading behind all these men with gifts, and there was so much tragedy, so much sickness, so much stuff going on. I put it down. I said, wait a minute, because there's just too much going on. But my spiritual father told me in a lot of time in ministry, and he said that these fellows didn't develop themselves in the word. They had gifts. They could snatch a knot off your face. That gift was for somebody else, but they're poisoned alive. They wouldn't take time and meditate or pray. You see, when you got this gift, it's just operating. The gift and calling of God is without repentance. And you, so you're just operating, but you have to feed on the word for yourself. The first supper must go to you. I mean, you must be qualified not just to preach the sword of the Spirit, but know how to use it properly. That's very important. Your personal development, your personal time with the Lord. So the call and the commissioning. See, it's a call, then the Lord commissioned you to do certain things. The apostolic call is a very personal revelation and a supernatural God encounter. You're taking note. The apostolic call is a very personal revelation and a supernatural God encounter. In other words, it's something that God is doing, not something that man is doing. We have too many committees and too many people laying hand on people, telling them what they are, what they've been called to do. And because of that, they have not the divine backup they need, because man laid the hand on them. Man need help himself. But when God called you, if man lay hand on you, now, I never had nobody lay hand on me by no apostle. I receive a call. And I didn't go get no committee. Now, look in Acts 9:5. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." You remember Saul, Paul was Saul. And then he told him, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And then he said to him, and he trembling and astonished said, "Lord." Now he come to grip now. He come face to face with the Lord himself. He said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said, "Arise and go in the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." See, you notice that now? Here's the encounter with God. And here God says, he asked God, "Lord," he called him Lord now, "what wilt thou have me to do?" The Lord said, "Now you go in the city, and it shall be told you what to do. Don't leave till you're told what to do. Don't leave until you recognize that he's Lord." You follow what I'm saying? And in doing that, if you turn over Galatians now with me, Galatians chapter 1, we'll see something else. The first sign of the call and the commissioning. And I guess that's number one, because it need to be number one. Huh? You don't need to go on the other one right now. You got to have the call and the commissioning. Hallelujah. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred..." "Not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me." I even consulted with no apostle. "But I went in Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. So Paul is called into ministry, and we all have to be this, by Jesus, through a divine calling and revelation. Amen?
Yes, sir.
He was, watch this, supernaturally called and entrusted with the revelation of the full gospel from the Lord himself. And I mean, Paul went down and did a lot of correction, man. These apostles were before him. And that's why he was able to write over half of the New Testament. An apostle is properly an apostle of Jesus Christ, not of the people. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. Jesus is his boss.
Come on.
personally and directly commissioned by the Lord himself. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He's not called by the local church. He's not an official of the church. He is, listen, get this. He is an officer of Christ. His headquarters, his orders, comes from glory. Can you see that? Now the signs of an apostle are signs, wonders, and miracles. He is supernaturally entrusted with a mission and an assignment. Amen.
Amen.
Now listen to this. He's an officer of Christ that builds up the church. And I think that's one of the missing ingredients we've been having. Everybody equal. You might be some equal, but that sweetener you put that, you know that sweetener? There? We're talking about the spirit realm, man. Somebody that's ranks. That's ranks. That's divine order. But where there's ranks and where there's divine order, there also must be submission.
Yes. Right.
Yes, sir.
Come on, you see, when there's commission without submission, you never get where you're going.
Yeah.
You have to understand. I always say the army or the navy or, you know, different military function receive their pattern from the spirit realm.
Yes, sir. Come on.
But they got it and we didn't get it.
That's right.
Come on.
Yeah.
You ain't telling me what to do.
Yeah.
I know the Lord for myself.
Come on, every time.
Come on. Every time.
Come on.
Now watch this. This is going to hurt. You know him to a certain level. Why you believe in water level, age level, and all kind of level, you don't believe in spiritual level?
Yeah. Yeah.
Every other level. That's a good statement.
Yeah.
You know, I saw this on a rhyme, but why you deal with everything else, but you won't build levees in the spirit? You know, levee holding some, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Oh, it's levels in the spirit, man.
Yeah.
Don't forget that. I say it's levels in the spirit.
Yes.
He's an officer of Christ that builds up the church. Watch this. And God will vindicate his apostolic claim.
Amen.
2nd identifying mark of an apostle, because I'm going to establish your heart for a connection with an apostle tomorrow night. So I want you to understand what you're connecting, who you're connecting with, and what you're connecting with.
Yes,
the second side of an apostle is this: character, Christ-likeness.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. In other words, an apostle have a Christ-likeness character.
Wow.
Let's look at one or two, three things under that. The apostleship is primarily bringing forth the likeness of Christ, revealing Christ in his life and his message. Turn to Galatians chapter 4 for a moment. Galatians chapter 4. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, I must take my time with this because known fact, we have not had this. And black folk been slave in everything.
Come on.
Sometimes I feel like the black Moses. Because, you know, I found so much mess in the church, man. The church, you know, and singing slave song. And I know people got mad and left the church. Because I said, no, we're not singing this, man. We ain't on the plantation no more. We don't have to steal away, we just walk away. And so that Cam, come on. I know y'all, some of y'all don't like it, but it came over in the church. And so even though we had got our freedom, but we were still slaves. Because we sing ourselves, sing the power away, sing the glory away, and sing our rights away. But, you know, we got too much emotion. And block out the supernatural. Church, you the church. You need to be able to go anywhere, any high society place, whatever it is. Walk in there with the dignity of Christ. But on Sunday morning, we need to get it together. We need to make sure we have a visitation of Christ, the presence of the Lord, a fresh anointing, a supernatural touch. This world needs to know us. They need to know who we are. They need to know who we represent. But we got to have power. And so the things in the spirit has to be straightened out. I don't want to hear what mama and them did. Mama and them gone now. I don't know what grandpa and them did. Grandpa and them gone. They're gone to glory, most of them. Let's go do what we got to do. Get your feeling hurt. The girl said, my mama, that's my mama song. Well, girl, your mama not here now. Come on here. Then Galatians 4:19, it says, there's a scripture here, my little children whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. You see? Yeah, we gotta get him formed right in us as Lord of Lord and King of King. So revealing Christ in his life. So in order to reveal Christ in your life and your message, you have to reveal Christ in your life and your message. And that's what the apostle set up is. He do that, and those who connected with him, he makes sure that Christ is revealed in their life and their message. It's not just preaching, but there's a character on the inside of them. And Christ is formed on the inside of them, and they love Jesus. Love holiness. Love righteousness. Huh? Don't shout me quiet because I'm preaching good. He is selfless in his character and passionate, pulled out of his heart to those whom he loves and care for. Notice Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And you know, there's a different type of anointing will be here tonight. Tomorrow night we'll fly a little bit. But that's a different anointing because we got to get this thing straight. We got to recognize spiritual rank, divine order in the body of Christ. Be a blessing to one another. Tell the person next to you, we should be a blessing to one another. Yeah, now that's one thing LTMA killed right at the beginning. Competitive spirits. Competing. Lord, who is the greatest? Jesus is the greatest. That's who is the greatest. Who the best preacher? The best preacher probably somebody who they claim to be the best, probably somebody who been hollering and running all over the Bible and never stop nowhere to get no fuel. He is selfless in his character and passionately pour out his heart to those whom he loves and care for. In Philippians 2:17, yeah, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. As a man dedicated to be a leader. And then you write notes, I'm not going to go to it. Galatians, we might have went to it, 1:15, chapter 1, verse 15 16. He invests, watch this. He invests his life into his spiritual sons. Daughters also, they invest his life in. See, you can't invest your life in somebody who don't accept it. Don't respect it. But that's the apostle's job. He have to have something to offer. That's why it's offer when a man say he is an apostle and don't have nothing to offer. But it's awesome when it's done right. Because you don't have to have this licking up stuff. This, and some of y'all mess your church up. You just keep calling them people. Are you still with me? People say, no, I ain't with you. I'm tired of you calling. Hang up. Let the people listen. Let the people alone. Pray for them. But don't be trying to go out with them and socialize with them, sit with them and call them up, say, why you wasn't at church last Sunday? I mean, just every Sunday you're calling them. Don't do that. Church is not, your church is not going to grow because you got this little group that you're trying to keep. And the very one need to go so your church can grow. I know it. I'm talking about personal experience. Personal experience. His selflessness in prayer for them, he desired for their spiritual maturity and well-being. Now, you can compromise. You can compromise in this and have a social relationship, but not a spiritual relationship. You can turn out to be a almost a social committee. If see, you compromise when somebody need to be corrected or directed and called on the carpet. Don't care what they do, whoever they are. There will not be no maturity. He see, he desires spiritual maturity. Watch this, and well-being. So I say, Brother David, don't do that no more. You know, you may call me and say it. You know, say, well, I'm going to get my wife a new car. I say, no, not right now. What? Who in the hell you think you is? They tell me about not getting my... What? You asked me, didn't you? See, but we don't have that. I've been through that. See, I bought cars ahead of time. I remember I leased a car one time, you know, so the lease was up. And so I was going to try to buy it. But shoot, it was just as high. And man, what did he tell me? I said, man, all this money I done paid on this car, you tell me you want that much? He said, yes, sir, Mr. Thomas. I said, keep it. That's a hole up there, boy.
Thank you.
Watch this. He prepares the apostle in whatever way for the apostolic message become more effective for the edifying of the church and the community.
Yes, sir. That's right.
You can't make them come, but you can have it there waiting on them.
Right.
Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let's go to the third mark. Hallelujah. Third identification. The third sign of an apostle, he received grace to suffer kingdom advancement. He received favor to suffer kingdom. Turn to 2 Corinthians 6. He received favor, grace to suffer kingdom advancement. That's what we need, doesn't it? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, to give this message, I had to mature because we are so emotionally inclined. When you get up here, you think everybody got to be jumping and shouting and hollering and crying. And that's what Elijah told them guys who challenged him. Holler louder. They ain't had no power. You know, he said, holler, your God, wake him up. He standing, he had power. You know what I mean? He had to make no noise, you know. A lot of people make a lot of noise. Nothing happening. We would not have that here. I will see the men and women of God in this LTMA. I will see you strong, matured, powerful, operating in the supernatural, blessed going in and blessed coming out. There's no reason you shouldn't have it. There's no, God had provided it for us. We just got to get in position to let God's glory fall on our lives. He wants us to have it. And we got so much to be torn down, so many old bad habits. We learned from some preachers with bad habits and organizations with, I had so much bad habits. Jesus, my dad had to preach them bad habits off of me. He said, my dad, when you get in the spirit, I feel them falling. Pop, pop, pop. You get in the spirit. I said, well, I go sit down and let get in the spirit so I can get all these old habits off of me. And then finally, I start seeing my way in the realm of the spirit. Finally, I receive a real anointing. Didn't have the fake no anointing no more. All of a sudden, I felt covered with hot oil. The Lord showed up. And you know what I'm saying? A real anointing. A real touch of God. Real power. Producing power. Not a standard flow, but an extraordinary flow.
Yeah. Wow.
Touch people's heart.
Yes.
Give them a word of deliverance. They leave and say, I came here one way, I'm leaving another way. I have a word from the Lord. I don't have a Bible lesson. You get a Bible lesson anywhere. No, I got a word from the Lord, a live word. The word that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. It's a rhema word. It's no longer a logos, it's a rhema. Now, actually, you have Vera's anointing in this room, but actually my anointing belongs to you. If you follow close enough, you'll get it.
Yes,
I know I did it.
Yes, sir.
Just ease on and be quiet. It'll come. It'll come. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, let's look at it. Look at this kingdom advancement there in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. But in all things are proving ourselves as the ministers of God in much patience, in affliction, in necessities and distresses. Anybody know anything about any of these stuff here I'm talking about? Huh? In stripes, in imprisonment, in turmoil, in labor, in watching, in fasting, and on and on. He says his call to God's service for a lifetime. Here's the key quality, Hebrews 6:12. Here's the key quality that apostle must have. And you must have it too. Patience and faith. That's the key quality you must have. Hebrews 6:12. What it says, read it to me. What he did at the end? Inherit the promise. So you got to have patience. Because you mess with people, you better have some patience or you're going to be a patient. You'll be jacked up in the hospital somewhere. You better have the Lord with you. I'm telling you, what pastor talk to me up in your pastor? Y'all know that? You better have some patience. You better have some faith or you're going to be a patient. Yeah, do I walk through the valley in the shadow of death? You'll be... Some people ask me this question sometime. I'll be 68 this year. Some people ask me this question at me by numbers, you know, only by numbers.
Amen.
One thing about apostle, the people ask me this question, when you're going to retire? You going to retire? Retire? You are, for what? I die preaching. He says, here's about the apostle. He does not retire from active duty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make your mind up, y'all. If you're rushing your life for retirement, you ain't got much of a life. He cannot give back his commission. I don't know. I see how they give it back. I don't know. You know, Paul said, "I fought a good fight. I kept the faith." What did he say? "I finished the course. I'm ready now." He was through at the end of the journey. You see, he is to live from the fruit of his labor, and by the preaching of the gospel. I'm going to give you the scripture because I want to move on a little bit. 1 Corinthians 9:1-13. He should live by the preaching. The greatest pain in the suffering of an apostle is the betrayal of his own team member.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Come on. That's a good statement. The greatest pain in the suffering of an apostle and not the persecution, not all that stuff, is the betrayal of his own team member.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Wow. Yes, sir.
And you must understand this. Thank God that Carolyn and Leroy Jr., I happen to have three sons in the ministry, and my daughter-in-law and my son-in-law all love God. And so I have my family around me, but sometime I steal away because apostles, at some time, they experience great loneliness. If you're a minister worse any salt, sometimes the clamor don't get it. You just got to get off. You know, you get off and you know, you feel like you're in another world. This is part of the package, man. That's part of the package. You can't run with everybody. You know, you can't run. You just got to, you know. So yeah, that's why I tell a man, take care of your family, man. Take care of your wife. Take care of your husband. Take care of your children, your loved one. That's my nucleus. You know, I eat with my family every Sunday. I even built a bigger dining room and got a long table. And my wife got 100-something sets of dishes. I mean, I left out the house. It's blue tonight. Baby blue. My dining room table stays set.
Yeah.
But my family, holiday, vacation, we do it all together. Leroy and Chantel never scorn us. They never leave us. They're always with us. I mean, they do things themselves, but they're always happy to be with us. And my children are not happy to be with me because I got something, because they're with me when I didn't have nothing. Yeah. That's why, you know, you don't marry a woman when you get rich. You don't know what you have. You know, them basketball players, when they make that money, they usually go back trying to find their high school sweetheart. And sometimes that don't work if they ain't got Jesus. All right, the fourth sign. We're almost there. The fourth sign of an apostle, he has free access to apostolic revelation and the unfolding of mysteries. Free access. Go back to Galatians chapter 1. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I like the spirit realm. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
I didn't stay on that betrayal long, you know. I should have parked there a few minutes, you know, but I'm not going to do it. I got good boys and girls. We ain't got that problem. And they usually get out when they can't go no further. We drop them off at the bank of the river. Let them get baptized again. The fourth sign of an apostle, he has free access to apostolic revelation and the unfolding of mystery. Now that's very powerful now. You see, we're talking about revelation and the unfolding of mystery. And then Paul said in Galatians 1:11. What did he say in 1:11? "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." This access to the apostolic revelation is the sign of an apostle. He is given this unusual access to revelation flow by God without which no apostolic ministry can be authenticated. Now, most of the boys here and girls know my incapabilities, but they have also had experience with me with the Lord. Where the glory come. Revelation knowledge come. Well, it sure wasn't me. But it's the calling, you see. It's the calling. You listening? He's given this unusual access to revelation. We read that in 2 Corinthians 12 with the Apostle Paul. Flow by God, without which no apostolic ministry can be authenticated. Watch this now, because some people don't want to hear this. The apostle and the prophets are the spiritual office holder who received the knowledge concerning the hidden mystery of God. And see, what have happened is, he said he an apostle, and he said he a prophet, and God haven't said nothing. So therefore, the rank, we'll talk about the ranks some more tomorrow night, you know, is the apostle, the prophet. That's a rank. I mean, he said it more than one time. And so therefore, the ranks are not getting together, and therefore, everybody suffer. Because when you fake something, it's just what you say. It's fake. You're faking it. But when it's real, it will manifest just like the Bible. You're sitting in a sign and a wonder right now. Paid for. How many acres of land we got?
Right at
600 acres of land we own here in Down Road. Nobody else owns this much land. That's a sign and a wonder right there. Paid. It's paid for. God did this. See? He make it visible. I've seen miracles. I've seen, I think that we've been tied up in a whole lot of organizational factors. And the Spirit of God can't move like he want to move. But we're getting there.
Hallelujah.
I say we're getting there where the Holy Ghost can move like he want to move.
Yes.
There's still miracles available.
Yes.
Yeah, there's still signs and wonders available. The glory of God is still available. Revelation still available. Vision still available. Power still available. Absolutely. Absolutely. Jesus Christ the same what? Yesterday and forever. I'm the Lord. I change not. So God's still God. He just needs some receptacles to work with properly. Somebody that's going to give him the glory and not take the glory. Somebody that know how to yield to the Spirit, trust the Holy Ghost, operate by faith, make the step God tell you make, God will make the next step. You can't wait on a finished product. No, you got to intervene by faith. Trust the Holy Ghost. Many times, let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened in ministry. Many times in your services, God tell you do something and you stick with your agenda. I remember some of the greatest moves of God. I remember standing about pot. I think I was at Creflo Church. And I kept hearing, kick the pot, kick the pot. Well, there ain't no dignity in kicking no pot. Third time I heard, kick the pot over. I kicked the pot over. The guys rushed to pick it up. I said, nope, leave it alone.
Right.
The power of God hit that place. Thousands of people in a whirlwind. People got blessed and manifestation of the Holy Ghost. You have to learn to yield to the Holy Ghost. No, I'm not talking about, Jason, I'm not talking about faking nothing. I'm talking about something that you got an unction from the Holy Ghost. It just come up, it's something you need to do right here at this moment. Cut your sermon off. Your sermon ain't that great. Go with the flow. Tell somebody what I say. Go with the flow. Even in your own personal life, sometimes God is trying to do something for you, show you something. It's not regular. It's not normal. You, in your physical mind, you don't understand it, but don't you have a spirit on the inside of you? Yield to the Spirit more than you yield to your senses. We're going to talk about praying in the Spirit in the morning, because you got to get off from the senses for God to really show you what he wants. There's another system available to us to operate at a deeper dimension, in a stronger facet, in a more powerful anointing. Satan have no business ruling in your life. He has no business ruling your situation. He has no business blocking your blessing. No, you got the Spirit of the Lord on the inside of you. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And you have to be bold in the Spirit. Trust the Holy Ghost. He's still moving. He's still in charge. I said the Holy Ghost still in charge. Tell your neighbor, I trust the Holy Ghost. Tell me, all gonna work out for my good. Now there are notches, that's the best word I get. There are notches that are being placed on your ministry tonight. Greater dimension of anointing is being imparted as we dig and sweep. You gotta sweep too. Some things we're sweeping out, and then there's some things we're digging. That is right there. See, that's that apostolic language. Yeah. Yeah. See, you can't rehearse this. There's some things you're sweeping out. Yeah. Then there's some things you're digging. Yeah. Yeah. What you saying now? It's a riddle, isn't it? What you saying? Some things you're sweeping out.
Yeah.
And some things you digging.
Yeah. Right.
Some things you're getting rid of.
Yeah.
And some places you're going.
Yeah.
Hello. This very night, every minister, listen to me. There are some things being swept out of your ministry, and there are some digging going on your behalf. God is about to let you go deeper into the realm of the Spirit, that signs and wonders and miracles will be able to manifest in your ministry. Watch me. Easy. We have made it hard by being hard-headed, hard-hearted, not yielding the leadership, everybody the leader. All of us need a sweeping sometime. Sweep, sweep, Holy Ghost, sweep. Are you hearing me? She's a literal. Sometime in the spirit, I got that. Spirit say, I'm sweeping some things and I'm digging some things. Huh? Then the spirit say he'll let you down in the
deep.
Places we can't go, but the spirit can take us. Hallelujah. You ain't got a bit to have no money problem. You have absolutely no business having no money problem. We spend more time on praying for our needs to be met than anything else. Lord Jesus, move today. The Lord already knows. You don't have to say the rest. Help me pay this. Pay attention. Pay attention. The provisions are there. The sweeping and the digging has something to do with first the provision. You have to know that the Lord can provide for you. First class. May you know no more brokenness. Bear with me a few more minutes.
Hallelujah.
May you know no more brokenness. You know, God actually supposed to pay for your ministry. He called you, right? He commissioned you? That's his bill. That's his bill, man. That's not my bill. I didn't call it.
Yes, sir.
Well, how do you think all these pyramids and telephone calls and all that got in the church. And chicken and fish. And all. How you think all that got in the church? Huh? We trying to pay the bill. We used to, at Mount Zion, we used to, I had a certain group would bring it, we'd cook it, buy it, and eat it. Sam Crew. Y'all laughing mighty loud. Let's get the fifth one. I got two more. Let's get the fifth one. You got a moment? You got a moment? I felt a few surge of the Holy Ghost there. This is so important. The fifth sign of an apostle, he has governmental authority over cities and demons. Now, this city here, the Lord approved. This city here was dry as the bones in the valley that Ezekiel saw. You see now, you see all these, some of these boys have been coming a long time. You see all these subdivisions and little shopping centers, big store out there and all that, and none of that was nowhere to be seen. When we took authority over these demons in this city, I wanted to put a sign up. One of my members talking about it, but I want, about 20 years ago, I wanted to put a sign up. Jesus is Lord over Darrow. I wanted to put that sign up, but she talked me out of it. I don't know if I should have let her talk me out of it or not, but she talked me out of it. You know, she was going to insult some people. But sometimes some people need to be insulted. So this governmental authority. Now, we don't know much about government. You see, the fivefold ministry give a governmental authority, in governmental authority, but they got ranks. See, the Bible said, let everything be done decent and in order. So the apostle, his ministry influences and affect not only the immediate people, but also generation to come. I will never die. Generation to come. I mean, you cannot, how this gonna die? How you gonna die? For 20 years, people been walking up to the altar on their own. How that gonna die? People been getting blessed. Some people got out of debt. Some people, you say, "Lot, nah, I'm not the only one out of debt, and I'm not the only one got some money." Now, most of the time, medical doctors are broke. Medical doctors, is what I said. Yeah. Excuse me if you want up in here or you're listening. Yeah. But not the doctor unto me. He bought him a new Rolls Royce the other day. Yeah. Bought his wife a new Mercedes. Yeah. And then give me $10,000. But he followed. He's just like a little kid. He's a head surgeon. He made a move one time in the church, and I didn't like the way he moved it, and I rebuked him. And he called me to receive his rebuke. He wasn't here. He called me to receive it. He said, "I'll take that." Lined up, the next time he had a chance, he did exactly what was supposed to be done about it. Here's a man operating on people for sometime 9 to 12 hours. But you see, Benson Otto Horror taught him before he died how to submit. I heard of the man who had violated a spiritual and father relationship, and the Lord, the Otto Horror yard was a long driveway, and he talked to another apostle, and he told him, "Get on your knees and crawl down his driveway and holler when you get there, tell him you're sorry." Yeah. Yeah. The man got on his knees and crawled all the way to his house. Yeah. And got delivered. I can probably see through sun and shake off. There's no way to promise you everything gonna be easy in training. Training many times will cause you to seem like you're embarrassed. But it's God putting you in a position where he can elevate you. Are you following me? It don't seem good sometime when you're challenged. You know, so no. And then nobody got to be, you ain't got to be grinning. I ain't got to be grinning your face every time I see you. And make it a point that you don't have to be grinning skinning and grinning all the time with everybody who come around you. I'm not talking about being mean, but I'm talking about being what the Spirit of God lead you at that time. People looking for leadership. They ain't looking for no friendship. They ain't looking for no cousin. They got enough crazy cousin already. They're looking for somebody to lead them.
That's true. That's true. That's true.
Yes,
sir. They may have that his ministry influence and affect not only the immediate people, but also generations to come. They may have passed on, but their words and ministry still influence us today. Smith Wigglesworth. All you got to do is say, Jack Cole. Well, all you got to do is say his name. Them names not dead. You know. Seymour. You black and don't know Seymour. You a sad sack of salt.
That's right.
I ain't talking about Seymour. That's a man's name. Paul affected the cities and region he went into. I have to read this because it's very important. He was unstoppable in his apostolic venture. Now, bless God, can I say this? I pity people who get in my way when I'm in the spirit. I've seen it happen over. Do not get in an apostle's way when he's working on an assignment for God. Don't try to stop him. And those who connected with them, Sam true hope. This ain't no game. This is a reality. God still have, you know, we talk about Ezekiel, Jeremiah. We talk about all these prophets. God still got men and women he got his hands on. He's the same God. No demon power can stop him from advancing. I remember, I probably relate to it more, but Paul then was going to prayer meeting. I, as a Baptist boy, I couldn't understand this text. I didn't know much about no demon. Baptists don't know about no demon. You know, Baptist, I don't know the Baptists believe in demons. But anyway, believe there are demons. They had to believe in them. But in the 16th chapter, and Paul and was going to prayer, and they said, this woman was saying, these are the great men of God.
Yeah. Right.
And she followed them many days. Well, when I heard that as a Baptist boy preacher, I said, well, why Paul got on her? She said, they're great men of God. I mean, what's wrong with that? Then another thing you have to understand, after many days, what he was doing? Discerning her. Checking out if she real. And then finally the Spirit of God told him she not real. That's demons in her. That's when he stopped and called them demons out. Huh? So you can't, everything not a demon. Don't y'all be fighting demons every night. You ain't that important. They ain't gonna send that many demons at you. That's just sometimes that's just somebody acting crazy. You gotta fight. All the people ain't got no demon. I tell them, I told God one time, I said, you ain't got no demon. Shut up, I ain't no demon, that's you. I ain't praying, I ain't casting no demon out. What I really need to do is knock you out. Cause you ain't nothing wrong with you. That's physical, that ain't a spirit. Then you be talking about, come out, ain't nothing mean. Got a girl, yeah, come sometime. She come set them here. She ain't got no demon. She's just acting crazy. She ain't no demon. You can tell when it's a demon, but it's a demon. And I told you got to have the wealth to walk before you go into warfare. You remember I told you earlier? All right, I'm going to try to find a closing place here. No demon could stop him from advancing. The apostle is the stronger man of the city. Yeah, he's the stronger man of the city. Now, you may not think he is, but he is. If he got that calling on him, God planted him in the city. He's the stronger man of the city. So, therefore, no strong man like demon power going to rise up in the city. And the sixth sign, sit down, let me give you this last one. We did good. I've been preaching an hour. I'm going to close. Tomorrow night, we're going to make some connection. Tomorrow night, Friday night. I hear my RV calling me. Rest. The sixth sign of an apostle is apostolic impartation. Everybody who run with him got a right for it. He seemed to be able to grow people in their full potential in Christ. Woo! That's something Junior said this morning, remember? He seemed to be able to grow people in their full potentials in Christ. See, that's why I ask these pastors to listen to me. If, you know, if I wouldn't have no signs in my ministry, and my ministry wasn't blessed, you know, you see, I might be guessing. But I have evidence. You know? I rode up here tonight. I said, boy, this is a nice church. Look at them big chandeliers there. Hallelujah. He has tremendous ability to impart in order, listen, in order to reproduce himself in others. Now, David been running with me a long time. I've seen when he first met me, he took me to some building that I to pray for him, pray over. I got out the car, went in the building, and I ain't say nothing, went got back in the car and prayed. David said he really wanted to cuss. He got hot. Man, what? I brought this man all the way up and he ain't going to pray. But ask him what happened a little while later. He had a full-footed church. That thing, that will take him the rest of his life. He still be building on that thing. He might not be at the meeting tonight. Putting up sheet rocks. Now he got a brand new facility. He's also able, listen, to impart into others what they are lacking. So that those saints can rise to full maturity. Hallelujah. I'm almost through. The quickening anointing. What kind of anointing? Is upon the apostle to speed up process of maturity and spiritual harvest. Whoa, children. Listen to this. The quickening anointing. The quickening on. God, if you connect right, God will do a quicker work. See, God work in divine order, I tell you. I mean, God didn't just throw it down and sprinkle all of us chief and everything. No, see, the quickening anointing upon the apostle to speed up process of maturity and spiritual harvest. Listen, I'm just using Saul tonight. I don't pronounce his name right anyway. I just will say David. And his daughters, yeah, I don't want to be cussing their name, messing their name up. David. David's father is a pastor. Yeah. He's a wise man. He told David, go with him. He's going to take your father.
Yeah.
And tonight, where David and Tracy is, if they would not have been connected, they wouldn't have got there that fast.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So I got boys and young can testify. Girls can testify to this very thing. The quickening of anointing is upon the apostle to speed up process of maturity. Listen to me. And spiritual harvest. Because, see, that apostle can tell you one thing that can save you 9 years. That's the way God got it designed. But who won't follow? Who won't listen? Everybody got their own agenda. We equal, you know. Apostolic importation can only be done by life transfer. Amen. Only a life force can implant seeds. Yes. Not no book.
Right.
You don't get this stuff out of no book. Not the relationship. Importation is not knowledge or skill transferring. It's the impartation of the spiritual gene of the apostle. You get some knowledge, you get some skill, but the genes, the spiritual gene. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Those 16. I hope you heard them. I give it my best shot. But it's a lot of information that you just can't mess with. It's the information that we need to know, all right? Stand on your feet and praise God now. Lift your hand. Let's talk to God for a few minutes. Thank him for what he's done. Thank you, Father, for what you have said to us. May we have the genuine, right connection in the body of Christ. May we move in dimensions and maturity and success speedily, and may you constantly reveal to us your desire. We pray.